Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Jason Mackey joins us now. Jason pitched in high school and college, so I'm excited to get his perspective. Jason, this was Paul Skeens' worst start as far as I was concerned. He's given up more runs, but this is the worst I've seen him look in a game. What's your take on the Pirates' immortal, all-time great pitcher and some of the struggles we've seen from him this year?
He's a human being, Andrew. I'm not worried about it. I mean, I've seen some of the best in baseball just have bad games. I don't think this has even been a bad stretch for Paul. I think that's unfair. You know, he came into this.
Oh, so your expectation was for him to have the 27th best ERA in baseball this year?
No, it was not, most certainly. Okay. But you're asking me to, like, sound alarm bells like I think there's something wrong with
No, Paul. I'm not. I mean, I think there's something in between that we can maybe get into in a nuanced way, but that's okay if you don't want to.
Come on now. Come on.
You don't think there's any in between?
No, I do think there's in between. You know me. I'm always into nuance, for crying out loud.
It didn't sound like you were when you said basically let's drop the subject because he's a great pitcher and he'll be great.
I didn't think it was like I thought it was one bad game. I guess from my perspective,
I don't think he's had just one bad game this year.
Okay.
You give up five against St. Louis and six. How about opening day against Miami?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a gigantic problem. I guess I'm coming at it from hearing a lot of social media that there's like something gigantic wrong with Paul Skeens, and that's what's coloring my opinion on it. And I don't think there's something gigantic wrong with Paul Skeens. I thought his command was below average today. His fastball velocity's been a tick down. I don't think he's dealing with arm problems. I don't think he suddenly forgot how to pitch. I think it's just been a little bit more inconsistent or not quite as dominant. I think it's, you know, a cat and mouse game, people adjusting to him and hitting some mistakes. Some of the pitches that he left up today that got hit for homers, he's not going to be able to get away with those. Nobody's going to be able to get away with those. I don't think it's a gigantic problem. I think it's all still inside, and I think he's still figuring out a little bit of who he still is. So I understand the concern. I understand what you're saying about some of these outings have not been, you know, typical. I'm pushing back against the idea that, like, there's something wrong with Paul Skeens. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. And that, maybe you're not saying that. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it.
Jason, he has stated a desire multiple times, I think, when asked that he wants to go deeper into games and therefore be more efficient. To what degree do you think the Pirates are even trying to influence him in any direction about his development versus them just saying, you were a generational prospect when we drafted you. We're going to let you decide how you want to proceed with your career and how you want to be, like, developing as a pitcher. How hands-on or off are they?
They're fairly hands-off, Chris. I mean, they're not telling him, like, you need to pitch this way. You need to pitch that way. They let him work out and do his own stuff, by and large. Like, they do not meddle. This is a different scenario than 13, 14, 15. Like, one of the things I saw on social media, somebody saying something that, like, he's fallen victim to a pitch to contact philosophy, and he's not. They're not telling him how to pitch. He's not executed some pitches as well as he would like. I mean, they don't tell him what to do between his starts. They don't tell him what sort of philosophy to operate with. I mean, If you want to look at, did they have a quick hook with him? I mean, maybe. I could kind of quibble with that, but he just threw, what, 109 pitches his last time out. Like, that's pretty good. It's pretty
His interim manager today said he looked tired in the fifth inning.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't think he looked great today. So, I mean, Donnie made the call. I don't have any problem with that, but I mean...
Oh, I didn't have any problem with him taking him out there either. I mean, he didn't have it today.
No, I agree. I don't think he had a very good day. I think he's could be the first one to say that. But,
all right. Yeah. So among the things that have changed from Paul Skeens, Rookie of the Year and Cy Young finalist to this year, this is not anecdotal. These are facts. His arm slot, Chris brought up, is different. His velocity, fastball velocity, is down, and he's throwing more pitches. So do you see, like, would you question any of those things through seven starts?
No, I wouldn't. I'd let him be him. We didn't see Paul Skeens for the first, seven starts last year. He was in Indianapolis. I don't have a good enough read on if he's one of these guys that, takes a little while to warm up to things. I mean, Brian Reynolds is kind of that guy. Like, he's been a notorious slow starter. If you're giving me 32 starts of information that his velocity is down, I suppose that's something to react to. I think one of the things that Paul is trying to do this year, and maybe you can criticize this, I'm not going to, but he's trying to be more of a pitcher and less of a thrower. He's trying to experiment with different pitches. I think that's a little bit of where his arm slot is. I think he's trying to be available for the entire season and not just, go bonkers and throw 101. I think he's more worried about the nuance of pitching. Has that caught up to him a little bit? Maybe. I think he's probably trying to, maybe outsmart himself a little bit, and sometimes it's just the best thing to do is reach back and go with power.
Do you think he misses a veteran catcher like a Grandal?
I think he might, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm not saying that Henry can't get there, but I do think Paul's one of those guys that is more, how do I say this, more receptive to a catcher who can kind of guide him, say things,
How much guidance does he really need, though? When you hear him talk about, his mental approach and, the analytical approach to pitching and breaking down the competition, I think he sounds like a baby Greg Maddux for, that level. He's already doing 400-level work. I'm not going to give him the out, Jason, that he might be better off with a veteran catcher, because I don't know how much one of those guys really has to teach him on the fly.
No, and it's not teaching him, Chris. Sometimes it's telling him to get out of his own head. Sometimes it's telling them, look, we don't have to outsmart guys. You can throw 100 if you want to. Just reach back and grab that.
Well, then sounds like somebody like Derek Shelton or somebody there needs to say, hey, Paul, we love that you want to be more of a pitcher, less of a thrower. Sometimes being a thrower is good, though.
Hey, Chris, I totally agree with that, man. I have no problem with that. That's the same
version. He hasn't thrown a pitch that's 100 miles per hour yet this year.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. And I don't think it's arm damage. I don't think he's has something physically wrong with him. I think it's what we're talking about. I think he's trying to maybe be a little bit too cute.
And why Jason, why is the arm slot 3 degrees lower on average? That's been written about. It's not me just seeing that on Baseball Savant and making note of it to Andrew. There have been things written about him having a even more down from three quarters delivery. What advantages would there be to that you know of?
That he's going to get more run with what he's throwing, and it's probably, this is one area that I think the Pirates might have an impact. It depends on how things tunnel. When you throw pitches, he's probably dropping his arm slot because he's working on a cutter and a slider, and they come out of the same arm slot. You want to tunnel and look the same. So if he's up high with his arm slot, but he drops down to throw a pitch that's moving, to his glove side, right to left, that's probably why he's going to drop it, because he's trying to get it in that same arm slot. Is that the right idea? I mean, should you just say screw it and fire a ball from 100 over top? I'd argue yes. I think that's enough of a competitive advantage. But they are very big into tunneling and getting things to come out of the same arm slot. If you're throwing a pitch with glove side break, you probably are dropping your arm slot a little bit.
Last four hitters in the Pirates' batting order today trying to beat a first-place team at home. Canario, Frazier, Triolo, Davis. How is it that in year six of a rebuild, half of your lineup is made up of hitters like that, Jason?
Because they don't have a deep enough roster, Andrew. And I was looking into this for something I'm going to write about Sunday. Think about all of the young guys that they've brought in here via trade and whatever. I came up with a list of 22 of them, young guys who have had an opportunity to develop in the Pirates system. they've had a negative wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference. And what they haven't been able to do, they've done a pretty good job with pitching. They haven't been able to get young hitters in here and get them to mature. And the fact that you have Alexander Canario and then Manuel Valdez who hit cleanup, I don't understand that. You know, that is a systemic failure with, you know, bringing in Leover Peguero or Jack Sawinski or any of these, Henry Davis even. Like, they're either the wrong picks or you didn't develop them or you're not getting the most out of them, maybe all of the above in a lot of the cases. I mean, it should not happen, you know. And even when you go out and sign a guy, Tommy Pham, for instance, you're not getting enough out of those picks. And that's been a consistent criticism of this group. You know, you bring in Rowdy Tellez or Yasmani Grandal or somebody who you're hoping to add some offense, and they're not doing it. Michael A. Taylor would also fall into that category. Like, they just have not been able to get enough out of hitters, whether they draft them, whether they trade for them, whether they otherwise sign them. And so you're left with a bottom four that looks like that. And it looks like a lot of the lineups that we've seen this season where there's just not enough punch top to bottom.
Jason Mackey, read him in the Post-Gazette. Listen to him on The Fan. He'll be in with The Morning Show from 9 to 10 tomorrow. Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.